Sean Dennis from the Fright Channel Horror Haven here with Brendan Barrows. You have some big news to talk about with Jack Hammer?
Absolutely. Jack Hammer was picked up by Action Lab Entertainment the end of last year. The new graphic novel is coming out in June. It collects the issues that were previously published by Risen Christ Comics, plus the issues that were never published, so you can get the whole story in one package. It's actually in Diamond Previews this month under Action Lab, and it'll be out in June.
Now, Action Lab, is that Sean Pryor?
Sean Pryor, yep. They publish Princeless, yep, which was actually just nominated for 2 Eisner Awards, Best Single Issue and Best All Ages Title.
Tell people a little bit about Jack Hammer.
Well, Jack Hammer is actually a detective series about a private investigator named Jack McGriskin. He lives in Boston, and it's very much like the real world. The only difference is that there are superhumans, there's just very few of them. For example, there's about 6 superhumans in all of Boston. Jack McGriskin is hired to find a missing person. He finds the guy, and in the process, stumbles across a much larger mystery that's really over his head, but he's kind of a bulldog, so he just latches on and dives right in anyway.
And you also have Voyaga?
Voyaga is a sci-fi series. It's about an astronaut named Dean Kirkland in the near future. He's supposed to be the first person to leave the solar system. Through a series of unfortunate events, he is left behind. He wakes up on Earth 1,000 years in the future, but he's already made peace with having left the life that he knew behind, so he figures, I might as well explore the world that I find myself in.
That's awesome. Now, your artist on Jack Hammer does video game design, if I remember last time, or something?
He does concept art in his day job. He's actually also the artist on Voyaga. He took over from the original artist after the first chapter.
And then you also have Reasonable Price Comics. You represent them, or?
I represent them.
Okay.
They do the Reasonable Price Comics anthology, which is sort of anything goes. There's everything from science fiction to superheroes, westerns. There's even a romance story in one comic, which is rare in comics these days. They publish Science, which is an all science fiction anthology. A lot of great stuff in that one.
Yeah, any of this stuff you can find digitally right now?
You can find pretty much all of this stuff digitally. All the Reasonable Price Comics stuff is available on Graphically and Drive-Thru Comics. Grim Crew Comics, which I've done a lot of work for, all their stuff is available on both as well. Action Lab, you can find their stuff on Graphically, Comixology. I think they're on Drive-Thru as well.
What was it about Drive-Thru Comics that you thought it was like, that's who we should go with?
Well, Drive-Thru Comics, when someone buys the comic, they actually own it. They actually download a PDF. It's watermarked, and usually you can't copy it or print it or whatever, but you own the comic. So you can make a backup on, you know, your external drive, whatever, as opposed to most of the app-based comic readers. You don't really own the comic. You're paying for the right to read it. And if something goes kablooey, that's it.
Yeah.
No more comic.
That's been my qualm with digital comics. I mean, I'm reading mostly almost everything digital. Convenience-wise, it's just easier for me if I don't have time to go to a store, but my biggest argument is I'm paying full price for something I don't technically own, and if you go out of business, I'm out of luck unless you come up with some sort of fail-safe. And I think that's kind of silly, whereas if you buy it and I physically or digitally physically, whatever you want to call it, own a copy of it, then I can understand paying full price, but not having access, that's kind of the trickiness to it, you know?
I completely agree with that, and I was resistant to digital comics for a long time specifically for that reason, but I kept running into things that I couldn't read unless it was digital, and I sort of tested the waters a little bit, but I still buy the physical copy of anything that I really like. My rule of thumb is if I want to read it a second time, I buy the physical copy.
I get a lot of comp stuff from companies, you know, Dark Horse, Image, all that stuff, and I still end up buying the physical copies of stuff I really, really like because I feel like it's helping out in a store, but there is something to be said about unlimited access. I mean, anybody could buy a comic book at a store, but you have to go to the store where, you know, iPad, I can pull it out and boom, doesn't matter where I am, and anybody has access to that, and I think there's a little bit of a nicer market there for that. And I don't know if there's an answer how to get those people to buy the digital comics.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It's much easier for someone who's never been a comic reader to stumble across something in, like, the iBook store that looks interesting, but whether or not that person's going to go out and buy the physical copy is another thing, because the people that want to buy actual comics, it's always a destination for them. It's, you know, my weekly trip to the comic book store, coming to Boston Comic Con or whatever. And there's a lot of people that, even the folks that buy trade paperbacks in like Barnes & Noble or whatever, they will probably never set foot in a comic book store because they don't have that mentality. And it's hard to get the folks that like the digital comics to support the entire rest of the industry.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of stores who are lashing out at digital comics, and I kind of, you know, I understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, instead of just going after digital comics, lashing out at them, make your store better. Make it more of a destination. You know, focus on getting a better comic and getting people into your store.
I think a big portion of that rests on the publishers too, because a lot of the small publishers are making a big effort to work with the stores and come up with reasons why someone would want to buy the digital comic and then go into their local comic book store and buy the physical copy or vice versa. Whereas the big publishers, it seems like they don't care as much. I know they do care because it's their lifeblood, but at the same time, they've got to find a better way than what they have now. I've seen some of the Marvel books where buy physical copy comic and there's a code for something special, like maybe an 8-page digital story that you couldn't get otherwise. I think that's a great first step, but I think they need to work directly with the comic retailers to come up with something that they think will work as well, because they're the people that are in the trenches every day.
I think, you know, with the, when you say digital, like Marvel has a better approach to giving, like you said, that extra content, where DC is much better at giving you it digital. Because I was looking up Super Crooks by Mark Miller just to see, you know, if it was released digitally, and it wasn't yet. But yet everything that comes out from DC is released. We're in this weird state where no one's quite figured out what to do digitally. I'm just an advocate of give everybody what they want. If somebody wants to buy a trade, give them a trade digitally. If they want to buy the individual issues, different people are buying these things. It's not like the same person's buying all of it. Some of us do. But, you know, I think there's a difference between the type of people who buy a trade and buy a floppy. I don't know what your feelings are.
I agree with that. I mean, I have friends that don't consider themselves comic book fans, but they own dozens of trade paperbacks. And maybe it's because they didn't buy it in a comic book store that they don't consider themselves comic fans. But at the same time, I only very rarely buy trade paperbacks. I buy all the individual issues because, one, I like having the comic every week or every month or whatever. But at the same time, I like supporting the books that I like, because a lot of those books, if you don't buy the individual issues, there never will be a trade paperback, because the publishers think it's not selling. Why waste our money? So I understand exactly what you're saying, but I don't think there is a happy medium that will satisfy everybody. And I think the publishers need to get that they need to continue doing all three things, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's we're definitely in a weird place for digital comics, because I think honestly, for the comic book industry to survive, digital has to take off a little bit, because, you know, like you said, it's hard to get someone into a store to buy comics, and there's always been that problem, but digitally needs to succeed.
I think DC's same day digital is a good step, but at the same time, and I don't really read DC, the only thing I read is All-Star Western, but I've heard from people that some of the books are the same price as the physical copies. That doesn't make any sense at all.
But that's Marvel too. That's everybody. Yeah, it is crazy.
It doesn't make sense. If you want to put the book out for $2.99 physically, that's great. Make it $1.50 or $1 for the digital copy, and you'll reel in people that may not read your books physically or whatever because of the lower price point, and then maybe you will create that fan who's willing to buy both.
What I gather is that they're doing that because they don't want to piss off the brick and mortar by having it cheaper the same day, but I kind of look at it as a digital comic and a physical comic are two different animals. They're two different beasts. Because there's that fear of the brick and mortar lashback against digital, I think they don't want to do that immediate price point, but I don't know how you can't not do that.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is maybe make it same day digital, same cost for the first 3 weeks or month, and then lower the price.
That's what DC does, and from what I've heard from a few people contacted DC, they were sort of surprised that there wasn't a larger increase of that, and I think it's more the fact that when you're a comic book fan, you don't just read comic books. You go to websites. You listen to podcasts. You know, you're part of discussion. You don't want to feel like you're left out of it. So I think maybe you don't want to wait. But I find myself buying like Suicide Squad. Don't need to stay up on it. And if I happen to remember, oh, it's a dollar cheaper now because it's a month older, I'll go and buy it. But I think there's the bigger titles like Batman and stuff. Those are just selling right off the bat, and I think that's the problem.
The problem with the bigger titles, I completely agree, is that if you are a fan and you do want to be immersed in the culture,
Because it is a culture.
Yeah, you can't wait, because if you do, that day someone will spoil it for you if you're not careful. Which is one of the reasons that I avoid message boards like the plague, because I don't necessarily read my comics the instant I buy them.
Yep.
And I don't want somebody to spoil it for me, well-meaning or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because when the last episode of Walking Dead was on, I avoided Twitter. I avoided Facebook. I avoided everything that could possibly spoil it. and I just happened to be on Pinterest, or however you say it, and all of a sudden they spoiled a character who I'm not going to spoil for people, who shows up in the last episode of Walking Dead, and I'm like, you're kidding me. I was like, oh great, now I know what happens. Awesome. Yeah.